Today I want to tell you a love story. So, long time ago, there was this noble warrior living in a small village, and he had this daily routine. This village was on the bank of a river, and so he would go to the river for his daily bath, his daily holy dip. That was his daily routine. And to go to the river, he had to walk through a very narrow gully, a very narrow lane in a village. And in that lane, there was this young widow who used to stay in an apartment, like a two-story building, and she used to stay upstairs in an apartment. And she had been through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, and she just wasn't a happy person. And she just hated this noble warrior, you know, seeing him every day going through that lane, you know, his radiant face, his smile, you know, she just hated all that. So what she started doing was, after cleaning her apartment, she started throwing all the garbage on this guy. So our noble warrior would walk through the lane and would come the garbage fall. You know, actually it would come when, after he finished his bath and on his way back home, then the garbage would fall. He would just turn around, go back to the river, take another dip. Yeah. And then back home. Day after day. Okay. And then one day, nothing happened. He's walking as usual through the lane on his way back from the first dip, and nothing is falling on him. Yeah. So he stops for a moment and then suddenly turns around and runs upstairs to her apartment, you know, and knocks on her door, you know. And so she opens the door, and as usual, you know, "What do you want, you know? Why the hell are you here? And leave me alone." Then our noble warrior says, "Sorry to bother you, sister. I just wanted to make sure that you're fine, that you're not sick or bedridden." She falls in his arms and cries. You know, loving kindness is such an incredible thing. You know, I like to equate it to, in our traditional term, we call it vajra. Indra's weapon, what is it called? Thunderbolt. For me, you know, loving kindness is the greatest weapon of a warrior, you know, like a thunderbolt. It can cut through anything. the worst kind of enemy. Hate, anger, resentment, animosity, ill will, anything. It's invincible. So as noble warriors, we cultivate loving kindness. Because we live among other beings, and the meditation we did was to develop the intention, the inclination for loving kindness. You know? Just that contemplation on it, recollection. Sooner or later, automatically that mindset develops, you know, and then it manifests in our actions. I told you a true love story, okay? It's just a bit of a modified version, but this actually happened in ancient past, and this story has been told through generations. Slight variations are there, but you know, it is a true story. It actually happened in an ancient village in India. So, another story, a true story again. I read it in one of the forums on the internet several months ago. So it's a story of parents who lost their child in shooting in a neighborhood. And so the parents went through so much pain, so much suffering, you know, losing your child like that. A lot of anger, a lot of resentment. So that multiplied their suffering. You know? And they just couldn't figure out a way out of it. So you lose your child, you suffer, and then because of anger and resentment, you suffer even more, you know. It was miserable for them. And somehow, they came across some teachings. And then they decided to visit the neighborhood where their son was shot dead, you know. And so they go to the neighborhood, and they had never been to that neighborhood before. They are very affluent, living in suburban area. Never been to such a neighborhood. And the moment they enter the neighborhood and see unspeakable poverty and suffering and a lot of pain, just seeing it, you know, with their eyes, all of a sudden their perspective changes. And they go and visit the parents of the killer. Just to find out, you know. And then they hear the story, the life story of the killer. How he was orphaned when he was a child, and how he went through so many foster care parents, and how he left his school because of violence, and you know, the more they learn about the killer, the less their anger became, the less their resentment towards the killer became. And they actually started an organization with the parents of the killer, and the two parents of the victim and two parents of the shooter, together they toured the whole country, went from neighborhood to neighborhood, talking about nonviolence, about how to eradicate poverty and keep the neighborhood clean, and encouraging kids to go back to school, and day in, day out. And guess what? All their resentment their anger went away. Compassion. They were not only able to realize their own suffering, but also others' suffering. And then they developed a desire to alleviate that suffering. Compassion. The perfect way to remove any degree of resentment, period. There's no better solution that I know of. This is also a true story.
Yeah, I also read a similar story.
Similar?
Yeah.
Probably the same story, yeah. And then we have gladness and oneness, and we've been talking about these wholesome emotions for the past several weeks. And then last week, I made a proposal that these four wholesome emotions are the fundamental elements that constitute the phenomenon of love. You know, last week I made that proposal. Love is just a term, like water for hydrogen and oxygen, right? Hydrogen and oxygen combined, we call water. Fundamentally, it's bundle of hydrogen and oxygen. Water is just a linguistic way of identifying it, expressing it. So it is with love, you know. It's just a term. So if somebody were to ask me what is love, I would say loving kindness, compassion, gladness, oneness. Bundle of these elements is what we call love. And then we went through the hierarchy of love. We looked at love as a spectrum, and then we discussed various expressions that correspond to each category of love, if you remember that. So that was that. We were trying to understand what is love, right? Now, whenever we are trying to understand something, we should at least always ask three questions. What it is, what it is not, and what is beyond. Always three questions, so we can understand it thoroughly. So I think last week we answered the question, what is love? Very briefly. Today we want to explore, find the answer to the question, what is not love? Yeah. And this is what I propose. You know, selfish affection. Fondness or craving somebody. All the Bollywood and Hollywood stuff is what it is all about, right? And all the great love stories that we hear about are that, you know. But unfortunately, it is not love. And now we have a neurological correlate to prove that, you know. People who say they are quote-unquote madly in love, if you take their fMRI scan, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and then people who have addiction, compare their fMRI. And you should Google this. Ditto, literally, the the neurons, the areas that fire up in your brain are exactly the same. And so now the scientists are referring romantic love or even passion or craziness about somebody as addiction. The scientific community is actually categorizing that as addiction. Yeah. That's why it causes so much suffering. Not that we should not have romance, you know. We should, but without developing craziness, without developing that madness, passion, you know, without those elements. And I think then we can really experience romance, you know. At least I think that. So, we are so used to living in mediocrity that we don't want to experience the higher states of consciousness, you know. Out of 100 movies, probably one or two movies will really show you what real romance is, you know. Because we are used to mediocrity. And so here we learn as noble warriors to go beyond the mundane and cultivate and develop the supramundane. Helping somebody out of pity is not compassion or not love. That's another thing I feel is misunderstood as love, you know. Like you see somebody, and I've done that a lot, you know, traveling in India, seeing the beggars on the railway station, and a lot of poverty, and did a lot of giving out, giving away a lot of stuff, but that was out of pity, you know. When I look back and reflect upon it, I know that it wasn't compassion, it was more like pity, because it caused me pain and suffering, you know. Today when I see what is going on in Haiti, I don't feel pain, you know, I feel compassion, because there is no longer any pity, and that's why there is no longer any sorrow or grief. And many of you must be experiencing the same, you know. We can do the same thing. We can still help that beggar on the railway station. We can still do things for Haiti people, you know. Either sending out a check or working as a volunteer or simply sitting in meditation and radiating loving kindness towards them. You know, there are many different ways of practicing love. It doesn't have to be actually physical, because it's not possible every time, right? Many of us are not actually, it's not practical for us to go there and do something. We can send some donation, but that may also not be possible for somebody. But for everybody, it is possible to sit in silence and radiate loving kindness and goodwill and sense of welfare for all those who are suffering there. There is no chance for any sorrow, any grief, or any pity to arise if we do that. No chance, period. And then sentimentality. That's a big one. It's a very subtle one, very complex one, you know. The common culture, if somebody is very sentimental, either they feel they are in love or others feel, oh, this person is a very loving person, you know. But sentimentality is, love is not a sentiment, It's an emotion, a wholesome emotion. Please contemplate on that. And Tanuji, that takes me back to our conversation last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about devotional love,
mm-hmm.
and you said when we chant the Lord's name,
mm-hmm.
in devotion, it's out of love, right? And I was saying, yes, we should chant, and I do chant, but I don't chant just for the sake of chanting or for the sake of feeling good or feeling high. I chant to recollect and cherish the qualities of the divine. So when I say Krishna, Krishna, in the background of mind, in the background of my mind, I'm recollecting the divine qualities of Krishna. You know, beauty, friendliness, prosperity, courage. Same with Jesus, you know. If I'm simply saying Jesus, 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 it's fine, you know. But you really are in devotion when you are in the background of your mind recollecting and cherishing the qualities of Jesus as you are chanting that name. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness. The more we recollect, the more we cherish, the more we are able to cultivate those qualities in us. And that's what devotion is all about, you know. Devotion is not to a particular personality, but to the divine qualities symbolized by that personality, the divine qualities inspired by that personality, you know. So if we simply chant, it becomes a sentimental practice. If you really want emotion in it, like what devotion really is, devotion is a very incredible, divine, extraordinary, supramundane emotion, not a sentiment. And then, last but not the least, sacrifice. You know, especially this is a big one for women, you know. They think they're loving their family, children, husband, sacrificing all the time. Especially in Eastern cultures, you know, women sacrifice their whole life and think that they are loving. No. Sacrifice doesn't equate to love. In fact, selfishness and sacrifice are the two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And the gift they give to their children is guilt.
Right.
That's true.
Selflessness is the practice of love, not sacrifice. If you can't love yourself, you cannot love another. That's the foundation of love. So please don't harm yourself and think that you're loving.
Isn't selflessness the same as sacrifice?
It's exactly opposite, in fact. In selflessness, there is no sense of self. There is oneness. Means you and I are the same. There is no Lord and a servant. There is no sense of being a servant in selflessness. There is self-esteem, high self-esteem. There is tremendous self-respect. In selflessness, there is self-respect. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. In sacrificing, there is very low self-esteem, there is lack of self-respect, there is a sense of being a servant, you know.
Because I was thinking, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, so it is like you're doing it willingly for something good, so it should be a good quality.
If you are not harming yourself while doing things for others, then it is not sacrifice. You might call it sacrifice in the conventional term, but it's not sacrifice. It's loving.
It should lift you up too, huh?
Sorry?
It should lift you up at the same time as it lifts somebody else.
That's it. Bottom line. Beautiful. If it's not uplifting you as you're uplifting others, it's not love. That's why we really never fall in love. It's an oxymoron. We rise in love.
I was going to say that I think we have this thing with sacrifice as giving. In some ways it is, but it's, you can give a gift to another person selflessly without your ego. And that's the good way. And the other way is you're giving of yourself, but you're kind of upset about it. You know, nobody's, you know, looking at me giving your ego's kind of bounded into it. I'm doing it, all this person.
Right.
So I guess sacrifice to me is if your ego is all bounded into the act of giving, and it's not done without your ego.
Right. The best example is this movie I saw recently. What's his name?
Brad Pitt.
No. He's very popular. He's very popular. 7 Pounds. Have you guys seen that movie? 7 Pounds?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the previews to it.
Huh? 7 Pounds. What's his name? The actor in that movie?
It's Brad Pitt.
No. African American, younger guy.
Oh, right. It's Will Smith.
Yeah,
Will Smith.
Yep. There you go.
7 Pounds. So in that movie, he's just suffering because of a lot of guilt, and then he gives his house away. He gives everything away, including his heart. He kills himself and gives his heart away to another person so that person may live. You know? So he gives...
I didn't finish that and I didn't get it.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's an interesting movie. So he basically gives away his life, he gives everything away. And then I'm thinking, oh, that's... What if he would have done the same thing, and instead of helping only 7 people, if he had lived, he could have helped 70,000, 700,000, 7,000, maybe 70,000 more people in much more prolific way, you know, instead of killing himself and just helping a few. That was sacrifice.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? Something happened.
He was guilty. Felt guilty that he had killed someone.
He did bad things in the past.
He had a car accident and somebody died in the accident, and he just couldn't deal with that guilt. Mm. And sacrifice is not the answer. So that's the answer to the question, what is not love? And then the third question is, what is beyond, you know? What is beyond?
Oneness.
Sorry?
Oneness.
Yeah, it's part of love.
Right.
It's the...
what is beyond?
Love. What is beyond love? We have answered 2 questions. What is love? What is not love? And then the last question is, what is beyond love?
And for me, it's just expansion.
Okay.
Nothing, yeah.
Endless expansion? Or?
Yeah, just feeling the entire universe.
Okay.
It's harmony. Peace.
Yeah. We're living in harmony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Truth.
Truth. Okay. True.
Life, I guess.
Life. Okay. So whatever we have, I have heard, you said harmony and you said just feeling the entire universe and all that. All those are the qualities of oneness, still within the realm of love. I propose that enlightenment, truth, is beyond love. So love is still falls in the is in the category of conditioned phenomena. And truth or enlightenment is an unconditional reality.
What you talked about perfect love in your pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No expression.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to no expression,
it's enlightenment.
Right. Right, actually, nothing is also a good word to yes, so nothing, because truth or wisdom or awareness or understanding is not a thing, you know, mm-hmm. is not in the realm of body, mind and consciousness. So, this understanding that we are developing, this wisdom that we are developing of love, this wisdom of love is beyond love. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately wisdom, understanding, awareness, truth is. But love is a great way to reach there, you know. It's a great portal. Why it is a great portal? Because we live among other beings. We are not mendicants or monks who are living in a monastery in Himalayas, you know. We are living here and now among other souls, and so the best way for us to reach there is, in my opinion, love.